This Thursday, we Americans have the opportunity to take part in our grand holiday tradition of sitting down to a meal with our Uncle Umberto or our sister-in-law Selena, who will then spend the entire meal telling us how Hillary Clinton should be in jail because of her emails, or because of Benghazi, or because of Whitewater. Or we will sit down at a table with our niece Nellie or our brother Bart, who will spend 3 hours saying how happy they are that the Democrats now have control of the House of Representatives, because that means that Maxine Waters will single-handedly be able to impeach the president for violating the Emoluments Clause or campaign finance laws or just tweeting general incivility. Such is the way that we give thanks for this less than perfect union we enjoy together. Some of us really will gather in gratitude with family members whose presence we treasure, aware of blessings we do not deserve. Some of us will gather in gratitude even as we are aware, as Robert mentioned in the prayer concerns, that families are complicated and holidays are difficult. We remember the families also mentioned during our time of prayer, those in California whose homes have been destroyed by fire, and what Thanksgiving must be like for them this year. For others of us in this land of opportunity, there are even more systemic difficulties that go beyond fires or family fissures. For the 40 million Americans who struggle with hunger every day, a bare Thanksgiving table can be yet another symbol of food insecurity and income inequality. And so as we look toward this Thanksgiving holiday, a word of thanks to you, Westmorelanders, for simple things, like the $950 of grocery gift cards that you donated last month to our children's collection. Those gift cards have gone to the Shaw Community Center to help families buy food this holiday season. And thank you to those of you who have given time and money to the Shaw Scholarships and the Westmoreland Scholars and Mentor Programs. Both are ways to help young people in need have access to education. Later today, as Kaylee mentioned during the announcements, we will have a congregational meeting and we will vote on the proposed 2019 budget. In that budget, you will see $55,000 designated for mission and outreach beyond the walls of this congregation. That money will go to Action in Montgomery and Interfaith Works to help people in need in our local community. Some of that money goes to our denominational partners to provide things such as water filters in Puerto Rico after the hurricanes, and microcredit loans for refugees who are making new lives in Ghana. So thank you for helping people have food on their tables. There's another group of people who aren't always happy about the holidays also. A Pew Research study says that something like 30% of adult LGBTQ Americans have been rejected by their families. And so, Judy, calling attention to Transgender Remembrance Day is so very important. Close to 40% of homeless youth in this country identify as LGBTQ. Those numbers are changing, they're dropping a bit, and certainly lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer rights and visibility and affirmation are mostly on the increase. But still, there are people who are simply not welcome at their families' tables this Thanksgiving. We have the queer community to thank for adding the term chosen family to the American lexicon over the past few decades. As LGBTQ persons have felt ostracized or misunderstood or even cut off from their biological or legal families, they found community and acceptance and deep love in chosen families. That concept is not new, of course, and it's not only the work of the LGBTQ community. People, all kinds of people, find intentional, loving communities in all kinds of ways. We find those communities in softball teams or dorm mates or musicians in bands. Chosen community. Several months ago, when I began working on this sermon series about meaningful media, when I asked you about songs and TV shows and books and movies that are important to you and meaningful to you, one of you emailed me this. One of you said, "I am most inspired by people in the workplace who care about each other as a substitute family. One of my current favorites is the television show Endeavor, a series from the UK about crime solving in 1960s London. The focus of our attention, Inspector Endeavor Morse, yes, that is his first name, is supported by a wonderful mentor, and the mentor's boss is also wonderful. There is a young woman on the team, a lowly police constable, who's treated with the utmost respect." This church member went on to say, "There are also a few episodes of the television series Parks and Recreation that show the loving substitute family as well. In one episode, the main character creates birthday celebrations that suit the individual personalities of her coworkers. One is a big celebration with people and noise and food, and one is a quiet evening with a favorite movie and a steak dinner. So thoughtful." And so that's where the title of this week's sermon comes from, The Gospel According to Parks and Recreation. Thanks to Alec for playing the theme song from that show as our prelude. The idea of chosen family. That's what church is all about. Chosen family. That's what we do together. For a long time, I was hesitant to use the word family in regard to church. I remember hearing someone, a seminary professor or someone, say that we shouldn't use the word family to refer to church. Their reasoning was that you have to be born into a family. It implies hereditary or exclusivity. But when we consider chosen family, we get a bigger sense of what it means to be related to one another, to be in relationship with each other. When Jesus called the disciples in the scripture passage we read earlier, he was inviting them to create a new family, to be in new relationships with each other. And the ancient book of Leviticus was written as a guidebook for how to be a people living in community. Among the very strange things that you may find in the book of Leviticus is this very unstrange set of sentences we read earlier. "When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do that person wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you." That is chosen family. You simply choose to care for those who show up. That sentence is also a powerful indictment of U.S. immigration policy. When a stranger comes to your country, you shall not do wrong to that person. You shall treat the stranger as the native. And while our nation may fail to live up to those words, the church exists to do that. We are the custodians of that moral and religious teaching. We have that difficult sentence to offer as a gift, as a reminder to the world. That is not easy work, though, being chosen family. It is not easy work to welcome others in and treat them as our own. It is not easy work welcoming everyone to our dinner table. It is not easy work living in community. It is not easy work caring for one another. We humans are complicated, sometimes very difficult creatures. That episode of Parks and Recreation reminds us of that. When we simply think about birthday parties, one person wants a big celebration with people and noise and food, and one person wants a quiet evening with a favorite movie and a steak dinner. Some people find God in the ritual prayers of the Salat. Others find God in the strum of a guitar. Some find holiness in the lights of Diwali. Others find holiness in the laws of Leviticus. Some of us are optimists, and some of us are pessimists. Some are strident, others are laconic. Some people are Republicans, some people are Democrats. Some are fiscal conservatives, others are okay with more risk. We have transgender humans and cisgender humans. We have dog lovers and cat lovers. There are extroverts and introverts. There are people of great faith and people who are natural skeptics. There are people who love to talk and people who love to sit off the side and watch others talk. And all of that diversity will be on display at our congregational meeting after the service. Those who want to cut the budget, those who want to increase the budget, those who love music, those who support Christian education, those who will say we need to prioritize care for the building, those who will say we need to prioritize mission spending, Westmoreland's microcosm of diversity will be paraded through an agenda of motions and amendments and questions and parliamentary procedure and votes. Our chosen family. The sound of all of us, as David and Robert sang, our chosen family. Families come together for various reasons. On parks and recreation and Endeavor, the groups form families because they spend all day together at work and because it makes for good TV. Chosen families that evolved in the LGBTQ community may have formed because of rejection from other families. Some families form because of romance. Others form because of biology. At Westmoreland, our purpose for coming together, our purpose in choosing to be a family together, is spelled out in our declaration of purpose, adopted by this very gathering at a congregational meeting, I would imagine, over 100 years ago. It says, our fellowship shall not be dependent upon identity of theological opinion or of outward circumstance or of denominational name, but shall grow from a common loyalty to Jesus, a common passion to serve the world, and a common purpose to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. It is to that that we committed young Cora's life this morning. That is what unites us. Those are the ties that bind us. Differing opinions on how much a church ought to have in a savings account, varying ideas on when we should replace the slate tiles on the roof, passionate hopes about outreach dollars, all fine and interesting and important and maybe even amusing and certainly very human. But our fellowship, our community, our chosen familyness, our relationships of love and care, those things grow from a common loyalty to Jesus, a common passion to serve the world, and a common purpose to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. For that unity, for those bonds, for the challenge in those words, for the sharing of that common life, I say thanks be to God. Amen.